The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. If this was a parish that had a video cam, I would be able to sit down and my homily would be done. Because I don't know how many of you are able to see up here on this Feast of the Holy Family. When the second reader came up, his son screamed for him and grandma had to take him out. The beautiful bond of love. But again, happy Feast of the Holy Family. One of the things that I dislike most in life is driving. I hate to drive. I think I'm an okay driver. I'm not a perfect driver, but I'm easily distracted. And one of the things that really distracts me are bumper stickers. And I look at them in the back of cars, and then I try to figure out to see who's driving that car pending the bumper sticker that they have. And one of the common bumper stickers we see this time of year that people put these magnets on their car, the ones that say, keep Christ in Christmas. And usually a good percentage of the time, I know who's driving that car. But the thing with that, if those of you that heard my Christmas Eve homily, you know, we know that 92 to 94% of Americans celebrate Christmas. But only 46% have a religious component to that message. But when we focus on that, I tend to say to myself, well, I go to Mass. I don't buy into all the materialism. I'm putting Christ in Christmas. So I tend to feel good about myself. But then when I really sit back and reflect and pray, I say, what am I doing to promote the Christmas message? And I think myself, like many people, I fail. Am I a part of that secularization of Christmas? And the reason I say that is because I think that we have tamed the Christmas story. The Christmas story is scandalous. It's terrifying. It's shocking. It's hard to believe. God, who's existed since the beginning of time, comes down and takes on human flesh. He becomes one of us. That's difficult to comprehend. A young unmarried virgin conceives a child by the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. And then her husband, when they get married, takes her to a place to take his wife. Nobody welcomes them. And after they're born, after the Lord is born, they flee. They flee to a foreign land, to a different continent. As refugees, as migrants, they're gone. How terrifying that must be for them. But what do? We have our nice little mangers, our nativity scenes, we put them up, we kneel before them, and those are all laudable, beautiful things. But do we understand the smells of the stable? The danger, how awful St. Joseph must have felt fleeing on a donkey to a foreign land, knowing no one. But when we put the Holy Family on a pedestal set aside, it lets us off the hook. Because then we say, that is the perfect Holy Family. And we can no longer relate. So then, if we have our issues and our dysfunctions, as all families do, then we say, that's family life. But that is not our call. That is not the call of the Holy Family. And why was the Holy Family able to survive and do what they were able to do, especially through Mary and Joseph? We know Jesus, he was God. It's because they had perfect obedient will of the Father, to his will, they abandoned themselves, and they had perfected love. They had perfect love because God, who is love, could be nothing more. Yesterday, I had the opportunity with my family to go to Nogales, Sonora, with the Jesuit priest, Father Sean Carroll, and visit the Kino Bordio Initiative. And when we parked on this side, we crossed the line to where they welcome these immigrants, these migrants. He said, I'm going to do two things for you. I'm going to humanize the immigration debate, but I'm going to complicate it for you also. And that he did. While we were there in this place, we met a gentleman by the name of Juan, who was living there in Nogales now for 2 years. He lived in Phoenix for 24, 25 years, had been married for 22. He had two sons, 16 and 6 years of age. His wife was a citizen of this country, as were his children. And he had worked here as a laborer most of his life. He had going to work one day, he got picked up for speeding. So he then got into the whole process of immigration. They gave him permission to work. But when he presented himself for another court date, he was ordered to have voluntary deportation. So he was sent to Nogales, where he's working in a recycling plant there. And he stays there because his children can occasionally go down and visit him there. But his wife has had surgery, so they hadn't been there in 6 weeks. When he speaks to his sons around Christmas time, he had tears in his eyes when he shared this story with me. Because he says, my sons told me they didn't want gifts for Christmas. They wanted to be able to hug me, touch me, and see me. And I said, thank you, Lord. You're helping me with my homily for tomorrow. Because why? Because it's love. It's all based on love. In St. Paul's letter to the Church of Colossians, the second reading today, he tells us, how do we perfect love? And I want to focus on three ways. One is compassion. When we're in situations, especially in our family and one another, do we have compassion? What does the word compassion mean? To suffer with. To suffer. Not necessarily to judge, even if we are diametrically opposed to what that person, whatever struggle we're in. Do we have at least 30 seconds to be in their shoes to understand their passion? There's something, we all have something that drives us. Those of you that saw the basketball game last night, I could have compassion for Bobby Hurley. I'm a Wildcat. I saw his passion that he had. I tried to walk in his shoes. I think he's wrong. But he had compassion. You could see where he's coming from. Compassion. Second, humility. Something that we should all learn, humility. It comes from the Greek word humus, meaning the earth, to ground us to the earth, meaning to know who we are and where we are from, to know our inner strengths, the truths, and what we can and cannot do. humility. Do we have the humility when we're wrong or we've been in an argument with a spouse, a child, a sibling, a coworker? Do we have the humility to say, I could partially be responsible for this situation? How do we remain grounded, knowing our identity, knowing who we are in relationship to the Father? Because He is love, and He is humble. You know, we say through His condescension, He came from heaven, condescended, took on flesh, became incarnate, took on the earth. That's humility. And thirdly, being patient, forgiving one another. I have a good friend that's been married for over 30 years, and when his mother-in-law was dying, her last words to them as a couple was, perdón, perdón, perdón. Forgive, forgive, and forgive. It's not easy to do, but it's related to humility and compassion. We are all called to forgive. We're called to be patient with one another, just as God has been so patient with all of us. And through all the scriptures, God did not reveal himself at the beginning. If you look at salvation history, it's all through different times. It was in time that he sent his only begotten Son. And he left the Holy Spirit to reveal all truths with us. So these are all different spokes on the wheel, but what's the wheel that surrounds us? It's love. When we seek God, we seek love. All problems, political problems, problems in the earth, problems in our family, why do they exist? Because we lack love. The willing, the good of the other. True, genuine love. So as we continue through this octave of Christmas and the season of Christmas in this new year, let us remember that we are called to be a holy family, imbued with the love of God, not the perfect family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.